You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
Amen. What God has in store this morning is that Karen Hubbard is here and not Jonathan McLean. He's having a little R&R, so I'm just filling in for the program today. We'll be having... our guest, Steve Camp, Pastor Steve Camp, and he's going to be on. And then at the bottom of the hour, I'll be replaying an interview that Jonathan did with Gina Coulter that we really had received many phone calls from that interview, and it was really a blessing to have Gina here in the studio. So we're going to replay that at the bottom of the hour. But right now, I want to welcome Pastor Steve Camp.
Hey, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for the privilege of always being on WCNO. Just a great ministry you all have, and the station covers so much of Florida. I get usually some texts or direct messages from people that hear the interviews that are all up and down the Treasure Coast and inland a little bit. And so we thank the Lord for this great station you blessed our area with.
Amen. And we, you know, those of us that work here and the owners, we love it. We love that the gospel is going out over the airwaves, and it has been for over 34 years. And
tremendous.
It's just been a real privilege and just a great opportunity to work here and be part of it. And so, Steve, you have a lot of titles over the years. You know, most of us would know you as a contemporary Christian music artist, and you had 15 number one songs and 40 top 10 songs on the charts since you started your career in 1975. That's the year I went in the Navy. So I missed out on a lot of the early music. Well, of course, because I wasn't saved back then. But that was a few years later. But it says that you have one mission in life, and that's to pursue the path of God that he has laid out for you and to bring him glory in every avenue and opportunity that's placed in front of you. And so you have, you've been a radio host, an author, a modern day paladin, and a pastor. And I guess you do have a church up there in Fort Pierce, the Cross Church.
Yeah, we moved from our Palm City location a little over a year ago. And, we missed the Palm City area, but we sure have fallen in love with Fort Pierce and the people here. And not knowing the different twists and turns the Lord would take us, we're rejoicing in the work here each week. So thank you for the prayers. And also for the support that your station gives us. I broke my leg a about 12 weeks ago, but the first surgery didn't really go so good, and we had to get in touch with a sports medicine specialist to correct, and I had surgery just a month ago, a second surgery, and we're so grateful to the Lord that that's been healing good. They said it was super rare and super bad, but so far, the checkup 2 weeks ago, the tendons and the bones and all, they're healing great, and I have another appointment tomorrow, so we're trusting the Lord that he's restoring the leg. I just want to be able to take a walk with my dear wife and around the neighborhood and stand up when I preach and be able to sit at a piano and do a few concerts in the future. So, you know, it's been great. But all these little twists and turns, thank the Lord that he's in control and sovereign over all these affairs in our lives. And what a joy to serve him all of life for all his glory.
Amen. So. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you have a song that came out recently, the song entitled Rage, and it's the title cut from the album Neighbors in an Age of Rage. And so we just wanted to ask you about that because we'll play that in a few minutes. What was the impetus for writing that?
Well, you're very kind to play it. It's a little aggressive, and it's my first and only song. I'm not rapping, so I don't want people to confuse that, but I am doing what they call a spoken word, and it just seemed to fit the tenor of this song. The whole album, because of the times in which we live, it's based on really the second of the two great commandments. As you know, in Matthew 22, Jesus is being kind of grilled by some of the Pharisees and Sadducees to discredit his work. But he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And that's the great and the first commandment taken out of Deuteronomy 6:5. But then he said, a second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So that second is found also in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. And so this album is trying to put that second commandment with the understanding that we only can enjoy the real benefits of that if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And so this is an album that is still vertical on many of the songs, faith, freedom, and family. But yet we are told, the Lord tells us in Luke 6, we're told what it is to love our neighbor. In fact, he says, love your enemies, right? Do mm-hmm. good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those that abuse you. And so that's the supernatural response of any Christian today in the society that we live in. All of the riots, all of the upheaval, all the anger that's out there, it's unbridled. It's unqualified. You don't have to even do anything wrong, and someone will, you know, curse you out at the store mm-hmm. or, you know, will just be filled with rage. And I thought, how are we to do the biblical command of neighbors, but yet we're living in an age of rage? And so this entire record, there's 26 songs, and it's all dealing with these issues within family, within the neighborhood, within culture, in the political realm, faith, family, and freedom, on what it means to really love our neighbor as ourselves. And there's still gospel, really good gospel songs of praise and worship and so forth. But I wanted this album to ask the hard questions. So this song, Rage, is aggressive. And so I don't want your audience to freak out when they hear it. But it's musically aggressive. It couldn't be nice and sweet. It needed to feel that rage, but at the same time, we want to say we are neighbors living in an age of rage, and we don't want to be Christians that respond with hatred towards those that need the gospel, and therefore we're not doormats either, but at the same time, there's a strength in the humility that it takes to live a faithful life to the Lord Jesus Christ in the world in which we live. So that's the background of this song. It's a spoken word song, but when the music drops out at the very end, there's a singular line at the end that I'll leave as a surprise here that really sums up what it means to live in this kind of society. So I hope that this will encourage listeners to be more radical in their life for the Lord than the world is to its rage and its sin.
Mm. And, you know, you've been known consistently throughout your career for saying the necessary, controversial, and sometimes difficult truths that many Christian artists and pastors are afraid to say. And so that earned
you... Well, thank you. Thank you for that encouragement.
And that earned you the reputation of, if Steve doesn't say it, it doesn't get said. So let's go ahead and listen to that, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Sounds great. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah.
You tried to cancel me, lock me down and silence me, put a hit on me. You try to take my faith, my family, my freedom by forcing me to bow the knee at your Babylon. You like to call good evil and evil good while burning down the neighborhood. But we won't comply, we will resist, cause everything woke turns to, well, this. The destruction of the family, the castigation of authority, the vaccination plantation is your slavery, and you turned racism into industry. While preaching peace and love and unity, you sell women and children as commodities. You seduce the masses for power, control, and money. These are your demise, your crimes against humanity. God-fearing nation? Fear. What shuts down schools and churches, holidays and jobs that fill our purses? Fear. But the issues are too great just to play it safe. Heaven or hell, life or the grave. Like the poet once said, love is a corpse. We sit and watch it harden. We left it all so long ago, the garden. Sinners, but Jesus is a far greater Savior.
Amen. Amen. That is a surprise at the end of that song there, Steve. That last line.
Know, isn't that the hope of the gospel? We are great sinners, but he is a far greater Savior.
Amen.
And that was a line that several of the Reformed Puritans used to say in the 17th and 18th century. We are great sinners, but Jesus is a far greater Savior. And I think sometimes in the church, at large today in evangelicalism, we forget that we are sinners too. We are saved, but yet we haven't arrived at our glorified state, have we? We still struggle in thought, word, and deed every day with sin issues. And that gives us a drawbridge to walk with someone else in their struggles, knowing that, hey, we're saved. We've died to the penalty of sin, but we are still wrestling with the power of sin every day. That's Romans 6 and Romans 7. So, you know, I think that sometimes if we communicate to a lost world that, well, now that we're saved, we just don't sin anymore, and we know that's not the truth of it.
Correct.
But I think it's something that, when we can point to the Lord that he's greater than our sin. You know, Romans 5, where sin once abounded, grace superabounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, our sin is no match for his grace. And that's the great hope that we need to herald today to a country and a world living in an age of rage.
Amen. So now what would you say to even a Christian that would hear this song and, you know, maybe not agree with everything that you're saying, or maybe the way that you're going about doing it. You know, maybe they don't like the style of how you're approaching it. Because, you know, there are believers that are kind of, you know, particular about what they listen to. Because this song's very shocking. When I listened to it, I was like, oh, my word.
But no, I understand. Well, you know what? I appreciate that comment, because certainly I want to be teachable. I haven't arrived at this at all, but it was, you know, maybe someone else, if they had the same lyric, might interpret it in a different fashion. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be a bit raw and aggressive that matches the lyric. You know, I think that that's something that is so interesting as a songwriter all these years. You always try to compliment lyrics, good lyrics, with music that complements the lyrics, that brings life to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we sing on this record, I have a song called Glory in the Cross, or I put John 3:16 and 17 to music, and just singing the word, and a song called Indelible Grace. Well, those songs would not have this kind of aggressiveness or backing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they still are creative, but we wanted the music to be uplifting and in some cases somber. We wanted people to really worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But in this kind of songs, like we were talking before the broadcast in the Psalm 2,
mm-hmm.
that you were sharing, you had read, Why Do the Nations Rage? It's mm-hmm. a messianic psalm. And we see this, if you read through the Psalms faithfully, theologically, we call them the imprecatory Psalms. There's a desperateness to us. There's an anger associated with it. And David's very bold about, Lord, my enemies encompass around me, or I hate these enemies because they hate you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hatred that is honorable to the Lord, not destructive. Just like what Paul says in Ephesians 4, we can be angry but sin not. We don't cross the line to let our anger do what we're seeing with the rioters in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, robbing stores and overturning police vehicles. We want to honor our policemen and women. We want to honor our military. We want to honor our president and those in authority over us. But we can all be burdened for the times in which we live. Our greatest weapon, if I can put it in those terms, is the truth of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, but it's the truth of God's word, and then it's the powerful truth of the gospel, which is why I love your station. Satan may be mighty, but Jesus Christ is almighty, and the gates of Hades can never prevail against us, because of the strength and the sureness and the sufficiency of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, I understand if people are like, wow, Steve, that was a little much for me. Well, I understand that, you know, not a problem, but I hope that folks will understand the spirit behind this. And even mm-hmm. as Christians, to go back, they can get on at realstevecamp.com and listen to the music there, even read some of the lyrics. And, you know, there, I could have written another 10 verses based on all of the things that are going on in the culture. Mm-hmm. But yet we are to be salt and light to a time like this, and to represent the Lord Jesus in all things. Again, not only love our neighbor, but love our enemies.
Amen. Amen. So look like we got maybe 5 or 6 minutes left. How can people get in touch with you for your church?
Oh, thank you for asking that. My direct email through the church is steve@crosschurch.com. Oh, pardon me, steve@crosschurch.us. I get that confused sometimes. steve@crosschurch.us. And we're doing online church right now just because of my physical condition with my leg. But if you send an email and want to join us online, we would love to send you a link for that. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, talking about rage, we're in Matthew 23, where the Lord is bringing his most stinging rebuke against the hypocrites, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And there's a powerful lesson in those verses for us today and how we are to live in the culture. But steve@crosschurch.us. And then the church number, 772-341-8271. 772-341-8271. Please call and leave a message, and we'll respond to you. And it would be a joy to serve you and to attend the Cross Church. And hopefully in another 4 to 6 weeks, I'll be able to put a little pressure on my leg and we can have folks in again.
Amen.
But the doctor has said, play it soft and conservative. Until then, we don't want anything to disrupt the healing process. So people have been very gracious. There are several from the church listening this morning. They are such a godly group of men and women that love the Lord, love his word, and it's a joy to serve them as a pastor.
Amen. Okay, and then your music, is that available on all the platforms?
Yeah, that's right. iTunes, Spotify, all of them on there. They can stream it. They can download a song or two. They can buy the whole album, whatever they would like to do. We consider it a joy to serve them in any way, but I'd be interested. Again, it's a long record, 26 songs with a Christmas song that you supported a year ago when it came out. Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. And but we would love to see how people can be encouraged. There's songs for family, songs for freedom, songs of faith, and we hope that this can be used in a way to bring, as a peacemaker, some peace to the streets, but more importantly, what it is to live as salt and light to this kind of generation.
Amen. You know, the lyrics that caught me in the song, the rage song, was that, so what paralyzes the planet? Fear. What cripples a prosperous, law-abiding, God-fearing nation? Fear. And what shuts down schools and churches, holidays and jobs that fill our purses? Fear. And fear is the number one tactic of the enemy. And as believers...
I'm so glad, Karen, you highlighted that lyric, because that's, you know, 1 Timothy... Paul is saying Second Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, mm-hmm. but of love and of power and a sound mind, a well-ordered mind. So this is not a time for the church in America to cower or to be paralyzed by fear, but to stand with courage and humility and grace in the word of God, so that we can live bold, uncompromised lives to a culture that needs the Lord Jesus desperately.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. So we are just about out of time. And Steve, we just want to thank you so much. Thanks for your gifting. It's really a blessing. And we just thank God for you and all that you're doing for your church, your support of our ministry. And just being a great friend to WCNO, and we wish you the best.
Thank you. My precious wife Cindy is here, and she's my right arm in so many things here. not just my helpmate for life, but she is such a vital part of the work and the ministry, and I am so grateful for her servant's heart. And I tell you, boy, the best caretaker in the world. I'm in good hands.
Amen. Well, she should be. She can be your
you,
leg,
Karen,
too, to help you
and
walk.
God bless Jonathan. I'm sorry that he wasn't with us today, but we sure thank the world for him and thank the Lord for him and for his friendship and his fellowship. And, boy, what a great head of state you have there at WCNO to lead the charge. And so thanks again. Grace and peace to you.
Amen. Same to you, Steve. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, that was our brother Steve Camp. That song is amazing. I'm going to go listen to it again. Very, you know, it's almost like a song that's going to compel you to get involved. You know, it's time for the church to get off her duff and get out there and minister to the lost, minister to those that are, they have no direction in their life. This is the time and this is the hour. So like I had said at the top of the hour, that we were going to replay an interview that Jonathan did with Gina Coulter, and we hope you'll stay tuned for that. And Jonathan, well, Dave and I will be here next Wednesday because Jonathan's away on his R&R, and we thought we would give him a little bit of time off. So all right, so I'm going to go to the previously recorded interview. So we just thank you so much for listening to WCNO. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all the great ways that you, our listeners, keep this station on the air. Again, we're over 34 years preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. All right, so we will we'll just have this interview, and then we will see you next week.
I am blessed to have Gina Coulter with us this morning, and I don't know how long I've known you. I was trying to remember, but it's been a while. It's been a little while.
30+ years, 30, I think.
30+ years. Isn't that amazing that God sustains us and continues to work in our life over all those years? I had no idea that I'd ever end up in a place like this, and you may not have either. So, Gina, we welcome you to WCNO. This is, I believe, your first time to come on air with us.
It is. Thank you.
And you are a wife?
Yes.
You are a mom.
Yes.
You are a runner.
Yes. Well, past, but yes.
Okay.
I'm done with it. It was a great, great go, but,
okay.
But the running shoes are hung up.
They're hung up. Oh, okay. And you have written how many books?
Three
books. And I read somewhere, at least at one point in your life, you had a couple days set aside every week where you just got alone with God and did some writing. Do you still do that on some level?
I do. I've always journaled since I was a kid. My cousin and I, when we were little, would go sit in a corner and we would write. And so then I have journals in my closet, multiple, many, that are on the bottom of my closet. And I would just always, it was something I did that was therapeutic. And then God started nudging me to start writing for him, for his glory, his words, and so I obeyed.
Wow. So how old were you, do you think, when you started journaling?
Gosh, I would say probably 9 or 10.
9 or 10. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's listening today that may think, I'm a little strange. I like to write.
No, it's great. It's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. Oh, you've been doing this a long time, and your life is it's an amazing picture of God's love and
yes.
God's grace
yes.
and God's blessing.
Yes.
And you went through some valleys.
Yes.
In your years, and your family went through some valleys.
Oh, they did.
And there may still be a couple more blessings coming for your family. I believe God, you know, he doesn't run out of those in his storehouse. But I want to just welcome you today. And to those of you who are listening, Gina does have these three books that are out. How would people find your books? Because someone's going to say, I want to find out more because God's given you a unique gift.
They are on Amazon. And then I also have a Facebook page called Gina M. Coulter, Refresh and Encourage, where I have either writings on there or I have videos where I share in transparency and authenticity and bringing God's word into that.
Okay, a little slower. Gina
M.
M.
Coulter,
mm-hmm.
Refresh and Encourage.
Refresh and Encourage. And that's on Facebook?
Yes.
One day I'm going to have to get on Facebook.
No.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of...
It's old hat.
My friend, it's they old hat. It's old hat.
Not
okay,
that so. Gina's stuff is old hat.
Okay.
The young people will tell you right. that, right?
Yes.
Well, today we're not going to talk so much about Dad, though I would like to. And I have to tell you, you know, when you came in back, what's it been, like 3-4 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Just stopped in one day and hadn't seen you in a way too long of a time. But how did you end up just stopping by the studio?
Mom.
Your mom, you Brenda. Know,
my praying mom.
Is she listening today?
I think she is.
She might be listening. Hey, Brenda.
She's there.
Okay.
Praying through all my prodigal years.
Yeah, she did that.
So she called me one day and she said, I think you need to go talk to Pastor Jonathan. I said, "Why? Like, why? But I said, I had been praying through, God, what's my next steps? Like, I'm empty nesting. What does this next season look like? And I said, okay, I'm going to go. And so I came. And so here we are.
Here we are. And you brought some gifts along. You brought some books along. And I remembered your father handing me one of these books.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's somewhere in my books that haven't been unwrapped yet. I have thousands of books I haven't found yet. A lot of friends. But you wrote a really nice note here, Jonathan and Rachel, Pastor Jonathan and Rachel, thank you for all you do and who you are to so many. And so you gave a nice little introduction. And, you know, as I got into this, I started reading it in the morning as a part of my devotion. So I would... There's many books I read. Some I go through year to year, and then I'm always adding anywhere from 3 to 4 additional books that I'm reading at a time. And so yours became one of those, and I have to tell you, I stalled out some mornings. Mm. And that simply means that God was talking to me, and I wasn't ready to pass that chapter up. And so your book kind of looks like I was... on a scribbling journey, because there's a bunch of notes, bunch of scribbles through here. But at the front of the book, fairly early on, I wrote in reference to Joe and Brenda Monticello and the family, Joe struggled, the great shepherd won, he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me one morning when I was reading about your dad and thinking about his journey and
yes.
thinking about how you so amazingly... tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
sometimes in kind of a bold and maybe even a painful way. And sometimes you say it in a way that I blushed, you know, like, I'm not sure I could say that from the pulpit just because of me, because of who I am. But I knew exactly what you were saying. So this is a book that we won't tell anybody how old you are, but you have... Okay, so you're married, and your husband's name is?
David.
David.
Yes.
And how many children?
Two
children, and they've got to be the greatest kids other than mine in the whole world. And so, Gina, I want to talk a little bit about your life and your walk with God this morning.
Okay.
And we have some time to jump into that. And the chapter in this book, let's talk about this book. It's Out of the Shadows. Where did this come in to your life?
So I just was praying through what the next book would be. The first one was more of a devotional style.
Right.
And I started praying through this one. And God just kept nudging on me. All the things we see in our world, how people respond to God, whether they've either fallen away or whether they're not believers, of these misconceptions they have of God. And I just started wrestling with that. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? What are those questions? And it was really cool, because how Dad comes into this is he and I would sit, and this was before he got sick, but we would sit and I would talk to him about, Dad, what are those things that maybe you struggle with, the misconceptions, right? Like, you think about... people you meet for the first time, you judge them maybe on appearance or maybe on how they talk or something. You judge them on the surface without ever right. getting to really know them. And I feel like a lot of people that are non-believers or maybe fell away from God, they had these misconceptions, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
So that's how the book was born. And Dad and I sat and we went through some of the questions, and then it laid idle till after he had died. Yeah. And I picked it up maybe 8 months after he died and finished it out. I knew that it was time.
So the book he gave me would have been your first book.
Yes.
That would have been the first book. He was so proud of you. I never forget that day he came in. We were in the second location on Central Parkway. And he said, "This is from my daughter. My mm-hmm. daughter did this." Mm-hmm. And so some of these topics, you may be listening today. You may have some questions yourself, because I think all of us do. But just who is God? That's a pretty good question. Science versus God. God is real, not the devil. Number five, we don't know who God says we are, and we're going to go there in like really quick time. And six, how can God want to be close to me or love me when I have so much shame and guilt in my past? That is a powerful chapter. Seven, I didn't have a good father, so God must not be a good father. A lot of people say, "Don't tell me that God is my father because my father beat me or my father took advantage of me or he abused me." And then eight, if I'm a good person, won't I go to heaven automatically? And such forth and so on. It's a book of misconceptions. Really, it's very well written. And so I want to go to chapter five, misconceptions. We don't know who God says we are. Identity. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
So from my youngest years, I had a relationship with God probably from 9 years old. I remember sitting at my grandmother's in her house reciting after Jimmy Swaggart the prayer of salvation.
Sweet grandmother. Yes. I remember seeing her.
My grandma was our prayer warrior, our faithful servant of our family.
She was a matriarch, wasn't she?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And her and my mom, very much intercessors. And I know my mom still to this day. Like, she'll call me and say, "I need to be quiet today. I'm just in prayer."
Yeah.
And so I grew up with that foundation. Being slain in the spirit at church, pastors laying hands on me, but then I walked away, right? I got to my teenage years.
Wait a minute. What is being slain in the spirit? Somebody's like, "What in the world is this lady talking about?"
Pastors pray over you, and it is a feeling that I can't explain of where it felt like an electrocuted feeling, a piece of God. Yet it was where I felt like God spoke to me. It was just, I can't describe it.
It's being overwhelmed in the presence of God. Yes. That's what it is. Overwhelmed in the presence of God to where you simply are caught in his arms. It's an awesome thing. Okay, so go on.
So having all of that foundation.
All those experiences.
I got into my teenage years and I walked away from the Lord. He knew what he was going to have for me on my journey, but I walked away. I went through rape. I went through divorce. I went through abusing drugs on many levels, living down in West Palm Beach. It was my, I'll say, studio 54 years. I got into things that were destructing of my body, of my temple. And God brought me to this place, and I thank God for it, because it was the end of myself. But I had to come to the end of myself to come to the beginning of him and what he had. And I clearly remember I had been out one night. I had partaken in too many things that I shouldn't have had. And I knew that I had overdosed. I went home. For whatever reason, I got right in the bathtub with my clothes on. And I laid there in the water shaking. But I remember my prayer was, "God, please don't do this to my parents and my sister.
Wow.
Don't take me from them like this. Please, I'll do whatever you ask. Just save me."
Wow.
And here's the ironic, amazing thing of all of it, which didn't hit me until a few years ago. I was in the bathtub. When I came up out of that water, he had baptized me. He had taken all of it away. I never needed rehab. The taste, it was gone. It was just completely gone. And when I think about that, even to today, I just am so thankful, because I see where other people have gone in their lives where maybe they haven't had the taste taken away, or they have to go to years of rehab. Like, he redeemed me and he restored me and he took all of that away. And I'm in work still every day. I'm in process. He's not done with me yet. And I still don't even know completely what he has for me, but I follow and I walk because of his goodness of taking me out of that. I promised I would do whatever he asked.
So you really came to the end of yourself. You made mention of the fact that we know people that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't all of the struggle to get us to the end of ourself, where
yes.
we can actually just surrender fully to God?
Yes.
I want to jump back earlier.
Okay.
You were bullied.
Yes.
That's kind of a big buzz word today.
Yes.
It didn't just start happening, did it?
No.
Tell us what happened. You're just a little girl.
I'm just a little girl. I had been electrocuted when I was 3.
Wow.
How did that
happen?
So I wanted this little snowman that my mom had up on a table or on the TV or something.
Right.
And in my little child brain, I thought, well, I can't pull it out. Right. It probably had like one of those child resistant,
sure.
whatever.
Sure.
So I put my feet on the wall and I put my mouth on trying to figure out how to get this out and put my mouth on it and try to pull it out.
Ooh.
So I saw, you know, in the cartoons when you see the eyes, they're big and spirally. Like that's what I remember. And they're spinning.
Yeah.
And so I remember seeing that. And then next thing I knew, I was in the hospital and I could see I was out of my body. I knew that I was. I could see the doctors working on me. I could hear my dad in a frantic telling them, like, you have to save her. You have to work on her, because he got the blood to stop. When I got electrocuted, it burnt pretty much the whole one side of my face.
Wow.
It hit on a main artery and it just kept gushing blood. And he finally got it to stop. As soon as they touched me at the hospital, it started again. And so he was a little frantic. But I was up above and I was watching all of this go on. And wow. my grandma would tell
me.
You're
a kid.
Like, yeah, when I was
a kid.
You're a kid,
3 years old or whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
And they sewed my face up where I only had half a lip. Right. So I go into elementary school.
Wow. That's brutal.
And I have half a lip. Hmm. Kids would watch me eat at sitting at the table because a lot of things I had to do either through a straw or like I could only take small bites. Right. You only have a half mouth to go through.
Yeah.
And then I had this big, curly, unruly hair, which they had a field day with. So between those two things, I was always being made fun of, and nothing through my own. Like that's the journey, that's how it was made, that's what things look like. But yet these kids were mean and they were ugly, and I would go home and I would cry.
How did that impact you?
Well, it made me feel rejected, not worthy, ashamed.
That's a big spirit, isn't it? Rejection is
yes.
a huge spirit.
Yes, yes. And I grew up in that and under that, feeling that. My parents actually, because it got so bad, they paid for me to have a surgery at 10 years old, where praise God for that doctor, because
wow.
now I have a full mouth. And sometimes it's too big. But so after that, you know, it was fine, but I still carried that. You know, you hear those voices. Things that people say to you are so powerful sometimes. And I didn't have that strength of the Lord yet at that age, where I knew I don't have to listen
yeah.
to these lies because I know who I am, which you're going to get to.
So you were an easy target for the enemy
yes.
to you were looking for love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And though you had that at home.
Yes.
A kid's looking for that also in some way with peers.
Yes.
And peer support. Do you think that weakened you in some of the relationships you had?
Back then, it did, yes.
I mean, this date rape thing, that was kind of a crazy thing that happened. This was, a friend of the family, or you had known?
This was actually someone that I dated, that I trusted.
Okay.
Was very well known at our school. He was very much liked.
Okay.
So when that happened...
this is a popular, somebody that's popular, it adds credibility to your life, and
yes.
and you're naive, and you're not suspecting, and okay.
Yes, and it was unexpected, and if I were ever to have told anyone, which I didn't for years, I didn't tell my parents till I think I was in my 20s, so I kept this to myself.
What would you say to somebody that's holding that secret in today? Somebody's listening right now that needs to hear this from you.
You need to confess. The Lord says to confess, to get
yeah.
it out. When we
get
hold things in, and there's so many people like I did that held these things inside, and they cause bitterness and resentment and hate, and they just well up this yuck in your spirit.
Yeah.
And you have to go to someone who you trust, whether it's a friend, a parent, a therapist, and get it out, because Satan wins when we keep stuff inside.
Yeah, better turn the lights on, don't we?
Yes.
We got to turn the light of God's love, His grace, His mercy, and His redemption. So you have this horrible rape. That's a painful situation. Mm-hmm. You end up meeting somebody. You're still, the enemy's still nailing you down, trying to find love and acceptance and value. Mm-hmm. And you end up in a marriage, right?
Yes, I ended up getting married. It probably shouldn't have happened because I was not in a healthy space. But I wouldn't trade it for anything, because through it, I learned about going to a therapist. I learned about getting help that I needed.
Wow.
And while it was really painful, I wouldn't have changed it, because it was part of my journey that God knew that I needed in my life. And so it opened that door for me to feel okay with going to therapy and okay with doing the things I needed to for myself, aside most importantly from my walk with God, but to be okay to go to a therapist, because many people hear that and it's almost a stigma. It's gotten better in this day and age we're in, but back then, 20 some odd years ago, it was a stigma, right? If anyone talked about mental illness or therapy. And so I'm thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I remember struggling where, you know, I had a doctor tell me one day, he said, "Jonathan, you know, if you break your arm, you do something about it."
Yes.
You know, if you're in an accident, you know, they stop the bleeding, you know, there's triage and such forth has to be done. But when it's something that's mental.
Yes.
That might be emotional, maybe other things. There's a stigma about that, to mm-hmm. where you don't want to be identified as, you know. And he said, "Your brain's broke."
Yes.
He told me that one day. He said, "Your brain's broke. You need help." So this was actually an opportunity in your life where you had all these deep issues.
Yes.
And God was able to take through that in some small way what the enemy meant for evil and start turning that around for good.
Yes.
And so that does not identify who you are today. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but because time is flying by. But what has happened since then? What's happened to your identity? How did God walk you through that?
He gave me my husband, and my husband is a gift to me. He gave me my two boys, just restored. God is so faithful that He says that He will restore. He will give back double of what we lost, and I am proof of that, of His blessings.
That's awesome.
Of giving That's me awesome. Back so much of what I lost.
That's awesome.
And not for me, but to go out into this community. When we moved back to Palm City, I remember running at the time when I was running. I would run the perimeter of Palm City and pray, "Lord, You've brought us here.
Yeah.
This is not for us. Use me in this community." And I've watched Him be faithful to taking my story and my journey and allowing me to speak to people that He's put in front of me that He knew were in a place where I was that I could speak to. And He's sent me in all different places, from working with First Priority to Fellowship of Christian Athletes to being a track coach for 2 years. So wherever He's opened the door for me to go, and it's mainly been working with youth, I've gone. And I've watched Him be faithful to use me in that space to speak into them, to let them know, right? Ephesians 1, you're chosen, you're forgiven, you're adopted, you're redeemed, you're His child. Those powerful truths that He has restored to me. Do I still struggle some days? Yes, because I'm human. But I know the voices now that I need to shut out, and I know the voices I need to listen to.
Well, you know who you are. You
yes.
know who you are. And, you know, you give so many great scriptures in here, but you say part of the testimony is to the importance of knowing who you are in God.
Yep.
So what's just a couple conditions that you would say would indicate someone is struggling with knowing their identity? What are, because you've been there. What are those deep, dark thoughts and struggles? Because someone's saying, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just messed up."
The first thing I would say is you're not messed up, that God loves you, that He has a plan in all of that, which maybe you can't understand at the time.
Yeah.
And that I would say, get the help that you need. Instead of holding all that in, go to someone that's that trusted source, whether it's the friend, the parent, the therapist, and get all of that yuck out, because then Satan doesn't stand a chance. And most importantly, is coming into a relationship with the Lord, because he's the only one that can heal it,
yeah.
The only one that can redeem it, and getting in with a group of people that can be around you to support and encourage that,
you
that
need
faith
that.
Walk. Yeah.
You need that alliance
yeah.
in your life, for sure. I didn't approach this morning like a teaching approach. However, not from me, but from you. I would like you to prepare to do that in one of my Wednesday lives and share one of these chapters, because you have so much to unwrap.
Yeah.
And your book is so well written. In fact, toward the end, you have question and challenge
yes.
in this book. Question and challenge. Since I have the book, I'll read it. I know you know it, but okay. What things in your life happened that stole your identity?
Mm-hmm.
That may have caused you to put up walls, you may have up still today.
Yes.
Write them out. Take your time. Be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
You did that, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you live this stuff?
I did. I still do to this day.
Still do.
I got to get myself in check, right? It's a daily walk. We've never arrived. We're in process. And I have to sit with myself some days and say, okay, hold on a minute. What is this feeling going on?
Yes.
I got to sit and I let the Lord walk me through. Like some days it's stuff where he tells me and it's like, really? Like, I don't want to hear that. But, right? Part of that
process. Even though you know better.
Yes. Of healing is... listening to him guide our spirit and getting all that stuff out. So yes, I very much, these are practices that I have in place most
every
days
chapter.
Of my life.
Mm-hmm. Every chapter, it comes to this conclusion, challenge, go back into the chapter, read the verses that tell you who you are in Christ, and then write them down.
Yes.
And, you know, Gina, one thing that that I'm sure you do or have done or thought through is if we can take these verses and write them down in our own words,
yes,
they become a part of the living story of God's grace in our life. And it's so awesome because, you know, you just tell your story and you write out of really the heart of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And you have 2 Corinthians in here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what's it say? You know it. I know you haven't
not in condemnation.
Yeah, there's no condemnation.
Condemnation.
Yeah. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And this is a great book. Once again, people can find your books by doing what?
Go on Amazon, and you can type in my name, Gina M. Coulter, and they'll pop up.
They'll pop up that way.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to ask you back.
Okay.
More than once.
I would love that.
Because I do believe that something I was reading this morning in Jonathan Cahn's book, we're moving into the month of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the month of Nisan is new beginnings. It's spring. Mm-hmm. It's light. And we're moving out of the season of winter, which is the dark
yes.
and the dead
yes.
and the grave. And it's a new season.
Amen.
It's a new season. And it's a new season for our nation.
Amen.
It's a new season, I believe, for the church.
Amen.
It's a new season, I believe, for young people. I believe there are a lot of young people
yes.
that are saying, you know what? I grew up with mom and dad repeatedly messing up. And I know there's got to be more. And you might be listening today, and you may be in that position. You may be a mom or dad that said, I messed it up big time. And maybe you have a daughter like a Gina. That struggles. Maybe your daughter's still struggling. Maybe your son is still struggling. Mm-hmm. But it's not too late. Gina, I would like you just to lead us in a invitation and a closing moment of prayer for those individuals, first of all, that are seeking to find their way home
yes.
to where it's safe and they are able to have peace and able to find out, what in the world am I here for?
Yes.
Why am I here? Lead us yes. in that prayer.
Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you, God, for everything you've done in my life, everything you've redeemed and restored. And God, I know that there are those listening today, God, who need your touch, who need to come in relationship with you, God, that I pray, God, at the sound of my voice, that they would hear yours, that I pray, God, that you would tug on their heart, Lord, that they would sit wherever they're at and they would ask you for forgiveness for their sin, that they would ask you into their heart. And it's just as simple as them talking to a friend, that I pray, God, in those areas of their life that are hidden, where there are walls built up, where there's bitterness and resentment and those things that create shame and self-hatred, God, I pray release from those today. In Jesus' name, I pray release from those today. I pray, God, that your spirit would just come down and touch them wherever they're at, and they would feel freedom, a freedom that only you can give, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your power, for your grace, for your love that will pour out on anyone today that's listening to be touched by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And for all of those parents, the parents that the enemy's saying, you have failed. You have failed. What a lie from the devil.
Yes.
And we just declare that what the enemy has intentionally strategized to bring destruction into your home and into your family and into your future, in Jesus' name, there is a plan of deliverance and new beginning. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, Gina, are you going to be willing to come back? Did we beat you up too bad today?
I would love to come
back. Gina Coulter, a dear friend, family's dear friend, was very blessed to be able to hang out with your mom and dad on a lot of occasions, and your dad in particular. And we had a lot of great conversations, and I must get you back in here to talk about some of your father's journey. And, you know, I believe the body of Christ just needs to know that messed up doesn't mean that God can't clean you up.
Amen.
So, you know, you might be really messed up today, and you're like, you just don't know how messed up I am. No, I probably don't. I probably don't even want to know. But I can tell you this. I know that God has a plan to straighten it out.
'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible.
Thanks for listening to Wednesday Live today, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. For information relating to their mission and ministry, go to tccalliance.com. Until next Wednesday, may the Lord shower you with blessings.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
Have you been praying and you still have no answers? Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? Don't forget the things that he has done before. And remember he It's like the brightest sunrise, waiting on the other side, on the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope, hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are, only moments from the break of dawn. All his promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. The problem.